Hello and welcome to today's podcast, where we'll be talking about climate change with our guest Isabel Asmarian.
Hello, hello, good to be here.
So,
hold your horses for 2 seconds.
First off, before we dive into today's topic, what do you think your purpose is on Earth?
That is a good question. My personal purpose on Earth is, I feel as though, to leave the Earth in better condition than what it was when I was born into it, if that makes sense.
What about humanity's purpose? What do you feel that their purpose is?
Humanity's? I think that it is to do good. And it's going to be different for every single person to do good and to be good. But I feel like collectively, if we can do that, then we can really further the Earth and further ourselves as individuals. And I guess and what we can do in total, if that makes sense.
Yeah. That's very good.
Very good.
Yeah. Could you help define climate change? What is it?
So essentially, climate change, as the title suggests, is our change in the natural climate of our Earth, and climate meaning temperature and, I guess, condition of it. And so through it, we have higher carbon concentrations in the air and in the water, which is changing the natural temperature. Like, we just learned in science about homeostasis, right? And so it's as though the Earth is leaving this sort of balance, and so we need to bring it back.
Yeah, definitely.
And through climate change, it's like, it's damaging so much, especially from manufacturing and factories, and just so much carbon and methane being released into the atmosphere.
Why? Well, okay. I guess, why has it taken us so long to recognize this issue?
I think it has taken us so long is because it only really became news like 30 years ago, and people weren't taking it as seriously. Like, the facts were presented, and just no one took it as serious as it should have been, which is why now when we really see the effects, it's like, it's really kicked into people's minds. And so now people are wanting to make a difference a lot faster.
Well, yeah. Is there anything we can do about this massive issue?
I think 30 years ago that there was more we could do individually when it wasn't as big of a problem, but like, we can still do the little things, because when the little things, they all add up, if that makes sense, it can make a difference. So right now, we really need to spread the word of it to the people who aren't educated. We need to be recycling as much as we can. Only 9% of all things thrown in like the recycling bin is actually properly recycled. 91% is just left. So if we can really get companies around that, we can use that to produce anything. The chairs we are sitting on could be made out of recycled materials, you know. The containers that are sold at the canteen can be made out of recycled materials. People can be composting, you've heard this a million times, but ride your bike more instead of driving. Even though probably driving your car isn't going to make any much of a difference, it's still better. You're getting in the right habit. And we just need to spread the word and get the big companies on top of this, because we really need to get around it as fast as we can. Because we only have 11 years left until this temperature rise is irreversible. So we really need to get around that, you know?
Yeah, I guess, why is so little of the rubbish that's put in recycling bins recycled?
Honestly, I have no idea, because I know that Australia just got, we used to, you know, we throw a landfill onto other countries like Malaysia and China. And just recently, China stopped taking our rubbish. So now Australia has to keep in all of our rubbish. And so I think it's expensive to really make these recycled materials and to properly recycle it, because it's, you know, companies want what's cheaper for them, and so they can make the most profit, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I guess, well, what can this generation of people do? Are we active enough as it is?
We're not active enough. Yes, you know, having a march in the city is something, but that march isn't going to reduce the carbon concentrations. We need to educate everyone, and we need to start signing the right petitions. We need to, because we are this generation, and the next generation is the last generation for this. Generation Greta, we need to make a change.
And I guess, well, let's take an example. What's happening right now in the Great Barrier Reef?
So the Great Barrier Reef, you know, used to be home to so many fish, such a variety of corals. Like, only 2%. of the world's oceans have corals in them. Only 2% of the 100. And now it's down to 1%. And that 2%, that 2% holds about 20% of our fish. So if 1/5 of our fish population relies on 2% of ocean, and now that 2% is halved, we have 1% left. And we've essentially lost the Great Barrier Reef. Scientists are trying so hard, but it's just like died off because of rising temperatures. The ocean's becoming more acidic. It's just, it's been wrecked. And one of Australia's most loved, not landmarks, because, you know, it's in the ocean, but I guess it's such a nice tourism spot and destination because it used to be so beautiful. And then now you just look at it and it's dead. It's wrecked. And I just really hope that we can get it back to what it used to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, what can you and I, as everyday people, do about this?
I mean, as I said before, we can do the little things, you know? You know about the how people want to use metallic straws and all that stuff instead of, like, plastic straws because they get stuck in, like, turtles and fish? So, I mean, we can do those things. We can invest in solar power. Nuclear power, I think, should really be looked into. And so when I say nuclear power, you're probably thinking of, like, weapons and all that hardcore stuff. But actually, I was doing my research the other day, and there's two varieties of nuclear power. So you have nuclear fusion and nuclear fission. And essentially, nuclear fission is when the atoms in themselves break apart into more atoms, if that makes sense. So that is what all your nuclear weapons are doing. And then you have nuclear fission, which is when the atoms come together, they fuse. And we have limited atoms in the world, of course, but those atoms create infinite power. So in a sense, it is sustainable because we're never going to lose and gain atoms, but their power is infinite. It runs forever, which is why it can be used, which is why nuclear energy can be used sustainably. And it is not dangerous, like nuclear fission, which is like what, which is what America used. America used nuclear fission to drop the bombs on Nagasaki in Japan, for example, or Chernobyl in Russia. They use nuclear fission, which is dangerous. Nuclear fusion is sort of like a good nuclear power. So I think, I know you ask individually, but I think companies should really get into it, really look at it. A solar scheme should be, have, I guess, more interest in Africa as they do receive so much solar radiation, and that can really help to plan to power that continent. In a documentary I watched, Elon Musk said it only takes 100 gigafactories to turn the entire world renewable. Only 100, and he already has one or two. So if we can get, as I said, big corporations, big companies to really, like, become educated, have good people in power and make the right moves, then we can still save this planet. It's all about how fast we're doing it, how soon. But okay. We need to.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming on today. It was lovely to talk to you.
You too.
And thanks for listening.
Ciao, ciao.